Are you one of the many couples who began your relationship in what we call the high octane or honeymoon stage, but now life has you wondering, where did all that love and connection go?
Hey, if this sounds like part of your current story, welcome to the Red Truck Marriage Podcast. We want to help you experience God's best in marriage, a relationship that is stronger, deeper, and more exciting than ever before.
So meet my wife and co-host, Stuart Anderson.
And he's my husband and co-host, Dr. David Anderson.
It's time for you to become the heroes of your marriage story. So let's get started. Everybody, and welcome to the Red Truck Marriage Podcast.
Hello, Red Truck Marriage listeners. Today, we are keeping on track with our series, The Top Six Topics That Couples Argue About. Today is episode number 68, Power and Control in Marriage.
Yes. And you know, honey, we have talked about lots of different things that couples argue about. Previously, we've talked about the lack of attention or affection. We've talked about parenting issues, frequency and quality of sex, and household responsibilities as some of those things that couples argue about. So if you have not listened to any of those other episodes, make sure after this one you go back and listen to some of those things and see if you resonate and see if maybe we can help you like stay away from those kinds of conflicts.
Right. And before we jump in, I just want to encourage you again, grab your notebook or your journal and take some notes today. There is great power in writing down your thoughts about what we will discuss for you.
Yeah, so, honey, there's the teacher coming out of
don't
you.
Don't miss it, right. So what about power and control in relationships? Well, we want to be clear about something for all of you listeners. When we talk about this issue of power and control in marriage today, we're not addressing the issue of abuse, especially physical abuse, but also emotional or verbal abuse. Mm-hmm. If there is abuse going on in your marriage, where you're concerned for your physical well-being, please reach out for help. Nobody deserves to be abused physically, emotionally, or verbally. Reach out to us if you need some resources at impactingpeople.com, and we'll also put some links on our show notes today that will be helpful for you.
Wow, that is so well said, honey, and so true. And I hope you hear that, friends. Like, nobody deserves to be abused, regardless of your contribution to any conflict in your marriage. Physical abuse, emotional abuse is never, ever, ever okay. And, you know, when physical abuse, I think, is sometimes a little easier to identify. Mm-hmm. But emotional abuse, not so much. When I think about emotional abuse, it includes things like verbal abuse from a spouse where there's yelling, swearing, insulting you. Another term we use is gaslighting. Mm-hmm. Making you second guess your thoughts and feelings and making you think you're crazy. Mm-hmm. You never said that, you know, kind of thing. And wow, what Stuart just said, if this podcast episode is not meant to address that when we talk about power and control, but if those things are going on in your marriage, my goodness, please reach out for help and including us, impactingpeople.com, and we'll absolutely give you some resources.
Yes, yes. But what we want to address today is the dynamic of power and control in marriage. And it's important that we say from the beginning that we believe healthy marriages have an equal balance of power and control. That is, that each spouse's opinions and desires and dreams and wants need to carry equal significance. Yeah. And that each spouse has an equal voice.
Yeah, I like the way you say that, an equal voice. You know, when those opinions and desires and dreams, wants, seem to be different from the other person, that's when the crossroad gets established. And that's where the real work begins. And I think too often, couples take a shortcut here. Mm. right? And here's what it's like. Like, we've seen couples take what they believe is a spiritually sound stance, or maybe they haven't really thought of it all that much to really believe it, but this is what they grew up with, that says, you know, perhaps as the man, I'm the man in, or the spiritual leader of my home, so we're going to do it my way.
Oh, yeah. Implying that there will be no discussion here.
Yeah, there's no discussion. I'm the man. And, you know, friends, wow. Like, I just...
We need to look at that.
Yeah,
sure.
We do. Mm-hmm. It's so destructive. And that's a shortcut. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean by shortcut. Or worse yet, the wife becomes passive and forgoes the opportunity for a truly godly partnership. That is to do the hard work of communication and mediation. Instead, they become passive, only to leave themselves feeling resentment. And it will deny your husband in this particular instance, and your marriage of an opportunity to grow your intimacy.
Yeah. So what David's talking about is for those of us who are peacemakers, we take pride in that, yet peace becomes our idol instead of our relationship.
Yeah.
Instead of living God's best in our marriage.
I really like that. And, you know, you might say, well, the scripture says, blessed are the peacemakers, you know, in Jesus's Sermon on the Mount. I don't think that's not what we're talking about. Stuart here, I think, is talking about, and we see this a lot in couples where peace becomes your God. And therefore, that makes you an idolatrous, right? Where at all cost, peace, where I avoid doing the hard work. Maybe it's setting boundaries. Maybe it's talking about how you think and feel, and knowing that that may bring some pushback.
Right.
But you're willing to do the hard work of navigating through that versus, oh, no, I'm not doing that. I just want peace.
Right. Again, something that will just deny both of you an opportunity to grow. Now,
to grow intimacy.
Intimacy.
Exactly.
Right. Talking about shortcuts, sometimes you can hear a husband say, happy wife, happy life. Again, missing the opportunity for a real partnership. You know, you can deny your wife an intimate marriage by living happy wife, happy life.
Yeah, another shortcut.
Mm-hmm. So is it really God's best in marriage to take the shortcut with these blanket rules that avoid the hard work of partnership, understanding, and communication?
I love, love, love that question. You know, I saw that growing up, frankly. You know, many of you know, I have four sisters, and then there's me. There were five kids. My dad would frequently take that shortcut with my mom, and instead of processing through a decision or some conflict that they were having, he would surrender all the power and control to her, and would become really, really passive in their relationship.
Right. I saw some of that as well, but. Honey, let's talk more about how the shortcuts can deny each other the opportunity to grow intimacy in marriage.
Well, I think, like growing up, this is what I saw, and I couldn't articulate this obviously when I was, you know, 10 years old. Mm-hmm. But looking back, you know, shortcuts like that, it really just, you know, causes everybody to just kind of pack up and, all right, let's move on.
Or freeze up, right.
Mm-hmm. Where, you know, I never saw my dad, like, challenge my mom to think through with him, mm-hmm. right? So understand this is your decision or this is your opinion. Let's talk more about that opinion. And I'd like the opportunity to give you mine. Like, that's the hard work. Right. The shortcut of these silly rules for quote unquote peace, it really denies one another that act of intimacy to actually navigate through one another's positions.
Right.
Am I making that clear?
Right. Absolutely. And we can add, you know, sometimes when the power and control is more subtle or passive, you mm-hmm. know, this dynamic happens. A spouse will withhold sex or emotional connection or withdraw into silence. And, you know, spouses will just use anger or intimidation with threats of divorce. I mean, that also is that crossroad of not growing a healthy, intimate marriage, but rather using manipulation.
And this, my friends, is the essence, I think, of power and control. Mm. Okay? It's, unfortunately, like Stuart just said, you know, maybe one person uses withdrawal or silence, taking away emotional connection. And the problem with that and where that becomes so powerful in relationships, and you may say, maybe even yours, most of us spouses know better than anybody else how to laser in on our spouse's vulnerabilities, right? This is where power and control becomes the most destructive. I was working with a couple recently where one of the spouses had a real fear of abandonment. Really, for a long time, they brought that really to their marriage. Mm. And the other spouse knew that. So any kind of like, even literally walking out of the room, or as you just said earlier, threatening divorce, you know, the big D word, anything that would spark the other person's like button of fear of abandonment, like that just totally gave the other person all the power and control. And they knew that mm-hmm. because it caused their other spouse to spool up, to panic, to jiggle, to trip out because that was their button, their mm-hmm. fear. So unfortunately, most of us know, you know, what that is. If I wanted to spool up Stuart and take control and power, you know what? I know how to do that with her because I know her. I know her story. And sometimes I think we use that, in a real destructive way, what was meant to be intimate.
Mm-hmm. Well, so far today, we've given you many things to perhaps identify this happening in your marriage. And today, we really want to spend most of our time talking about how to balance power and control in your marriage in a healthy way. And it's probably not going to surprise you to hear to say that the real issue is a matter of the heart, for sure.
Yeah. You know, when Stuart says that, she's so right. When we say it's a matter of the heart, we also mean it includes a new mindset or a narrative of truth. Like, what is the narrative of truth? What is true? So, you know, we want to take a look at a few principles that we believe are true that can, you know, really make a difference in your marriage if you'll allow it to. So, anyway, let's talk about some of those things. Number one, so where does the need for power and control in a marriage come from? Like, to me, that's a great question. It's a take a peek in the mirror question. Where does it come from in you kind of thing? Mm. Is it God's best for any of us to have more power or control than the other person in our marriage?
Well, many times when we analyze it and break it down, it's driven in most of us by some level of shame or unworthiness or fear that we're not enough.
That's interesting that you would say. I definitely want you to break that down. What do you mean by that?
Well, let's call it this. I've called it before the imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. That fear that who I really am in life is I'm faking it. I'm portraying a person that I'm really not that good. I'm not that strong. I'm not that wise. I'm not that worthy of being a partner here in marriage. And so that kind of fear, that unworthiness, makes us grab on to control even stronger. Mm. We want to control situations, conversations, and people just to prove that we are more than what we believe.
Wow.
Does that make
sense? It sure does. It's very how can I say this? It's hidden. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind
and
of
fear driven.
It's fear driven, shame driven. I'm not enough.
Right.
And golly, to be able to pinpoint that in our lives, that, all right, this need for me to have control, and power over this other person is really driven out of my own insecurities.
Right, that someone will believe that I really am not a worthy person, especially my spouse. Mm-hmm.
So even the fear of being found out, mm-hmm. you know, what a false narrative
right.
about all of us, are.
Right, it feeds destruction, right.
Right, where the truth is, here's a truth principle, if you could call it that, is God says that we are his masterpieces. Mm-hmm. Made in his image.
Made in his image.
Yeah.
Made in his image. And there is no fear. There is no less than about God.
Hmm. That flies in the face of the narrative that I'm not enough.
Right.
How about that? I like that. I think fear is such a huge part of what drives our need as well, you know, for power and control. Perhaps you or your spouse who control, let's say the spouse that controls all the finances, for example, take a look at where that may come from, you know, for a spouse. Maybe you grew up living hand to mouth. I don't know. There were bad decisions around money growing up, and you took the brunt, or at least absorbed a lot of the anxiety in your home. So for you, there was a lot of fear and anxiety around money, you know.
So you're talking about controlling the finances, not in a healthy way, not managing the finances.
Exactly.
Well, controlling, grabbing them.
Yes, yeah. Because of your fear. This is something you bring into your marriage.
Right.
You know, you're not a bad person because, you know, you're taking the bull by the horns. You're saying, no, we're going to do it this way. And although you may come across as very controlling and wanting power, but for you to realize, and maybe even the other spouse to realize, that there's something behind that, mm-hmm. That I brought to this marriage, and that's why I behave this way. Listen, this is where true intimacy can win the day. Mm. You share those stories with your spouse. Give your spouse an opportunity to understand those fears. Have conversations about it. Going forward with your finances, what does it mean to be on the same page with your spouse concerning finances? To me, this is a great example of loving each other, of not missing an opportunity for intimacy versus just a shortcut. Mm. You know, and then you never navigate through that right. for better understanding right. of the other person. Like, where is this coming from?
You know, that what you just said may be the most important part of our discussion today. If spouses can learn to be more transparent about their fears, to identify them, first of all, and then be able to share them with their spouse,
yes.
I mean, that will take care of all that we're talking about here going yeah. forward, if you have a common understanding of the fears at the base of this control and power.
Yeah, where is this thing coming from? And, you know, staying with that whole thing about finances, because, you know, we see this a lot mm-hmm. With couples that we see, you know, we work with, where, you know, a lot of this power and control surrounds things like money, how we're spending money, those kinds of things. So I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. All right. What if one spouse is the main breadwinner in the marriage? And let's face it, not all the time, but at least most of the time, and maybe this is another whole podcast episode as to why, but most of the time it's the man.
Right. Right. But it can be either. Right.
But it could be either. How does that impact the issue of financial decision-making? This person here who is perhaps driven by fear, right? But they want all the power and control over, or most of the power and control over spending. And then they throw the card, hey, I'm the one that makes the money mm-hmm. or most of the money. Like, what do you do with that?
Well, if you truly desire to live God's best in marriage, that should have no impact at all on how to manage finances.
All right, so we know that, but what? So we talked about we want to kind of uncover some spiritual truths or principles. How would one do that? What would you say to a couple where the husband's like putting a stake in the ground because he's the breadwinner?
Well, first of all, your financial resources ultimately belong to God because he has blessed you with whatever it is you're receiving. Ah. And secondly, we are charged as a couple to be good stewards of those resources together. Yeah. So that means that we discover, as a husband and wife, how to do that together, how to manage finances together.
I could not agree with you more. You know, couples who learn to, quote unquote, do life together, regardless of the topic, finances, whatever, or the task, that is each person's, let me say it a different way. Each person's thoughts and opinions are respected by the other, right? Mm-hmm. It's that process. There will always be a deeper sense of connectedness when people don't do the shortcut, mm-hmm. right? Where they drill down on one another's opinions and thoughts, their own dreams, maybe when it comes to finances. And they have conversation that surrounds those things. And then ultimately, your principal, listen, you may be the big breadwinner, but thanks be to God, right? To your job, what you do, the gifts he's given you is what brings down these resources. Mm-hmm. And it's fair game for both of you to talk about that.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Together.
End of story. There. Right. Well, interesting. Let me just point this out. In this series that we're doing on the top six topics that couples argue about, the next one is money. So tune in and we will elaborate on all of this coming up.
You know, this actually relates to the next question, I think. And I know you love this term, honey, but what does it mean to be a help meet, M-E-E-T, for each other? You know, some see that in the scripture, in the creation story.
Right.
Right, of a helpmate.
Right.
But you use the term help meet.
Oh, I love this.
Talk about that some.
Well, it's in Genesis, and it was a translation I read, and the word help mate was not used. The word help meet was, that God created a help meet for Adam. And to elaborate on it, in the little word study that I did, that the help meet was created to meet Adam where he was. And as I read that, and as I read more about the translation or the, the word study on it, a helpmeet is, and I'll tell you what it's not. It's not an inferior term. It doesn't mean that a wife or a woman was created as a doormat or to be completely controlled by her husband. That's not what a helpmeet means. And we've talked about it before. It's more of kind of filling in the gaps. A woman and a man each have their gifts and their strengths, and they also have their weaknesses. But the coming together as one is bringing each other's strengths to fill in where the other is weak.
So I am also a helpmate or a helpmeet.
Right. Right. That you also have your strengths that I need to fill in where I am weak. So that's the power of becoming one, is that you are stronger. The two of you are stronger when you become one and become each other's helpmeet.
I love that. You know, that goes right back to what we said a little while ago, where there's always a deeper sense of connectedness when we think that way about one another. Mm-hmm. You know, that we both bring gifts to the table, strengths to the table. I love that.
Let me add this. It just came to me. I read an article about this, that it is absolutely noteworthy that the Lord did not choose a heel bone to create woman, he chose a rib, a side bone, a bone from the side of man. So take that as you as you hear it there.
That's good. That really is. It's it's symbolic of walking beside each other,
right,
isn't it?
Right.
In doing life together. Finances, right. Parenting, chores
family,
around the
right.
house.
Right.
Like all these things of doing life together, we do it side by side.
Right. Yeah. And there have been so many, I would call them wrong interpretations of the word helpmate to insinuate an inferior being.
Yep. I really like that. Which kind of goes along with this third point of establishing a balance of power. So what does this really mean? You get a voice here. I get a voice there. No, in my mind, that's not it. You know, where, okay, you get to make that decision. I'll make this one, yada, yada. The balance of power in our mind, and I'm speaking for Stuart too, because we've discussed this and we try to live this out. But the balance of power is God's spirit coming out in each of us equally. Do you hear that? Listen, I want to put something out there that probably won't satisfy some of our listeners, maybe, because it's not psychological enough. And, you know, I'm a psychological guy because of my background. Like, you know, I expect psychological things to come out of you, David. Listen, most of this issue of power and control, it goes out the window if we seek to do this in our marriage, right? It's God's spirit that comes out of us, particularly if there is a conflict or opposing views. And I want to read something to you, and it comes out of the book of Colossians. This is Paul talking to the Colossians, and this has always meant something to me big time in my own life. I want to pull this off every day. Unfortunately, there's this thing called grace and forgiveness that comes from Stuart because I don't always pull this off. But here's what it says. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves. Put these clothes on when you wake up in the morning, friends. David, Stuart, put these things on. Tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Here you go. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, watch this, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, Stuart and I are one, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. So when I say what I said a few minutes ago, that the balance of power takes care of itself as God's spirit comes out of us, because these things, clothing ourselves with tenderhearted mercy and love and forgiveness and those types of actions, behaviors, that's God's spirit coming out of us. So I believe that takes care of this, any kind of disequilibrium, if you will, or misdistribution of power and control when I am clothing myself with these things. So maybe it's more about establishing a balance of love instead of power and control in your marriage.
Oh, I love that. I love that, how you said that, that we have that choice every time, you and I, when we face power issues in our marriage. You know, I think that power and control come down to each person experiencing from the other that their voice is heard. And that comes from extending exactly what you said, from putting on all of those qualities every day when we wake up. So that,
yes.
Oh gosh, that just changes your mindset and your heart right there concerning power and control.
It does. And practically, you know, what does that really look like? You know, so many times I've watched a couple in conflict. They're feeling frustrated, angry, hurt. And, you know, they're trying to talk to one another. And sometimes I'll stop them in the middle of the conflict and ask, say, the husband or the wife, so what are you hearing your wife say? What are you hearing your husband say? And they answer by giving me, you know, either, well, I don't know. I wasn't listening because I was thinking about what I was going to say. Or oftentimes they will take a shot at it, but it's an interpretation of what they heard their spouse say versus like the accurate content of their words. Or watch this, their voice. So instead, it's an interpretation. Well, what are you hearing your wife say? Well, I'm hearing her say that she doesn't think I'm a good husband, or she doesn't think I'm a qualified father or a competent father.
Right. We've heard interpretation right? So many times instead of the actual words that someone just said.
Exactly. Right. And I'll say, whoa, stop. Don't tell me your interpretation. Tell me what you actually heard your bride say.
Mm. Right.
And, you know, hopefully, ultimately, they say, well, what she said specifically was that, in her opinion, we need to do a better job giving our children boundaries.
Mm. Facts. Right. Right.
That is a far cry from the interpretation. So, you know, what would cause me to sit back in my saddle versus being defensive? I think it is clothing myself with these characteristics.
Mm, that is such a great point. If that couples need to slow things down and clothe themselves with compassion and kindness and ask questions for the purpose of understanding the other's point of view and then play back.
Yes.
Paraphrase what the other said just to check to see if you're getting it right.
Yes. And, you know, not just questions, but curious questions. I love this word curiosity, man. It's a good, authentic, curious question is one that just, you know, breathes the message. I'm curious. I really want to know your stance. I really want to know what you think and what you feel. I want to know your opinion because it's valuable. That's what curious questions are. So, you know, back to this husband and wife who's talking about parenting. And the wife says, I really think we need to have more boundaries with our children. You know, a curious question for the husband may be, instead of, oh, interpretation, she thinks I'm incompetent as a dad, would be, so, honey, tell me more about what you mean by boundaries and how you think that may really help our kids grow up to be responsible people. That's a curious question. Like, what's your opinion on that? And listen to that content. Wow, that is a far cry from putting your foot down because, you know, you're quote unquote the man of the house and have all the power and control.
Right. Right. Don't take the shortcuts. That's what we're trying to encourage you here, to do the work.
Yes.
And have those discussions.
So, you know, watch this. It, to me, that kind of dialogue removes any unequal distribution of power.
Mm, yes.
It really does. Now the goal is not getting one's way or even finding a solution, but experiencing a process with your spouse that is full of love and respect. Like, that's really big time, the process. And if you're still left without a solution after several tries, then bring in a third party to help you navigate this particular topic. Make sure it's someone who can help you both understand each other, as well as help you come up with how can I say this? An action plan, I guess, that lines up with the heart of God. Will this be pleasing to God? Whatever the solution is that you come up with, does it line up with truth, with God's best? Mm-hmm. And hopefully when you get ask somebody to help you navigate, that is their number one intent, that you're understanding one another, and that whatever it is you come up with, it lines up with the heart of God.
Mm. Something that came to mind as you're describing this is that sometimes with one spouse, this mindset will get in the way of making progress here. The mindset of, well, I'm not really a patient person. I can't change that. That is just the way I am. I can't slow down in this moment and have compassion right now. That's just the way I am. But the truth is, and it's in Scripture, that the Holy Spirit has given you love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, and
yes,
I'm missing one, faithfulness. You have it in you. You have it in you. The choice is to grab it and use it and portray it and to live in it.
That is such a good word. You know, that you're almost defining yet another shortcut, you know, to just write it off. Well, just as you said, that's not my personality.
Right.
Right? I'm not a patient person. I've always been this way. And the truth is, as Stuart just said.
You are. You have it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that. So, folks, we want to give you a couple of other little thoughts before we land this plane. But, you know, another thing that we would encourage is that you choose to be vulnerable about your feelings, particularly those feelings that drive your need to have power and control, either directly have power control or being passive. You know, what are those stories in your own life that drive this need for power and control?
Mm.
Being vulnerable about that is, like, there's no better place to do that than in your marriage.
Right.
That is the essence of intimacy.
You know, I think we've discussed a lot that will help people identify if that is something they need to tackle, to be more vulnerable about what they're feeling. I know that people have resonated with some of our topics already today, and that's why I wanted you to get that notebook to write it down and identify those. So,
yeah.
Yes, I think plenty of people can. You know, we're not all perfect. You and I are identifying with issues we've had with power and control, and it really is a breakdown in communication and being transparent.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So, honey, let's move on to giving our audience.
Well, another thought here to go along with what we've talked about.
Oh, so you don't want to move on?
I got.
I was getting ready to do the call to action, but you have another thought. Give it to us.
We can't go without talking about this topic of being one, and frequently I call it being a team.
Mm-hmm.
This means your spouse is not your enemy. And many times in day-to-day interactions, we battle each other as if you're battling an enemy when your husband, your wife is on the same team.
Yeah.
So allow your love to build the trust that you need in each other to have the discussions that we're talking about, to show empathy, curiosity, to improve your communication, especially when you have conflicts.
Yeah.
Remember that you are one on the same team.
You know, I'm glad you didn't let me move on, because what a great word. You know, something that just came to my mind when you were saying that is, you know, take the example of parenting. I don't know if you were in this session with me or not, but it was several months ago. I remember this mom and dad, they were in conflict over some parenting strategies. And I had them stop. And I asked them to write down like three things, three hopes, dreams, desires for their children. Like, what is their hope? Mm. Like, when they put their head on the pillow and they're going to pray for one of their children, like, what would those things be that you would pray for? And so they did that. We took a little bit of time. They did that. And they came back. And here is what was so revealing when you talk about team and partnership, is each of them, although they articulated it a little bit differently, they all wanted, both of them wanted the same thing for their children.
Oh.
Right? Like, I want my children, my child to grow up respecting other people, loving other people, using their gifts. Like, they were saying all these things. And the other parent had the same list of hopes and dreams and desires for their child. They just had different opinions about how to get there, how to help their child grow into that person. Right?
I'm sure that was a strong moment for them when it was revealed.
It was huge. Yeah. It was huge. But to your point, you're not enemies.
Right.
You're partners. You're one. So maybe that's a good place to start sometime. If the conflict is over finances and who's going to have more power than the other to make decisions, to take a step back and say, okay, what is it that we want?
Right. Right.
And you may find out that you're on the same page there.
Sounds so simple.
Oh, so difficult. Are you kidding me?
I know. That's great. Okay, we can move on to our call to action today.
Yeah. So here's one thing we want you to do. We want you to do your own self-assessment of your marriage, all right? What areas, and here's the question, what areas in your marriage do you see as like where there's an imbalance of power and control, whether it be parenting, finances, sex, and how does this power and control get played out, either by you or the other person?
Mm. And then we want you to ask your spouse to do their own self-assessment. And let me emphasize this again. When you both write down your thoughts about what we're asking you to do here, clear, truthful thoughts will help you have a better conversation instead of trying to do this from memory, just trying to do this on the spot. Write it down in a notebook first, and then the both of you, the next step, have a conversation about what you both come up with.
Well, you know, before we even ask them to do that, let me drill down just a little bit more. So I really like what you said, an honest self-assessment. Mm-hmm. One of the things just came out of on my mind, like, you know, where we get the log out of our own eye before we address the speck in someone else's, which is huge in marriage.
Right.
But, you know, that kind of authentic self-assessment will require you to have some courage to really look at yourself. How do I exercise power and control in this marriage, either directly or passively, withholding sex, withholding connection, putting my foot down and using, you know, posturing, a loud voice, threats. It's so important that you take a true self-assessment of how you exercise power and control. And watch this, we covered this earlier, and how does it like laser into your spouse's vulnerabilities where they're the most weak or vulnerable, right? Mm. Anyway.
Well, that just leads into this, when you and ask your spouse to do the assessment and then you sit down to have a conversation about it. If you're not clear about owning your own part of this, then it's likely to get off track into judgment and criticism and blaming. So that's what we're trying to avoid here, is that you have your own self-assessment, your spouse does a self-assessment, and then you have a conversation.
Yeah, so watch this. So now all of a sudden here, because we said this earlier, this process is, to us, more important than the resolution.
Mm.
That's big. Choosing to clothe yourselves and kindness during this conversation, tenderheartedness, humility, gentleness. Like, ask curious questions for the purpose of gaining a better understanding of your spouse's point of view. Play back what you're hearing the other say for clarification, and to show that you understand what your spouse is saying. Mm. Like, play this back. The process is, in our mind, bigger than the resolution.
Gosh, that is so important to emphasize. You know, this might be one of the most difficult call to actions we've ever had because of the topic. So we just want to encourage you to slow it down, to be honest in these assessments, and then to clothe yourself in all those great qualities before you attempt to work through this.
Yes. And can I give you folks a final thought just to reiterate? You heard us say that process is more important than the actual solution or solutions that you come up with. I'd like to say it another way. The process is about 90% of the solution, right?
Yes.
Like, the process.
So important.
Is the solution. Like, where you both walk away and you say, you know what? In this encounter that we just had, clearly my voice mattered to my spouse. Mm. I mean, what if you were to walk away from a difficult conversation like this, these call to actions that we're talking about, and you both walk away with, my voice mattered to him. My voice mattered to her. Like, that is the solution.
Right. Right. That's a good word.
Yeah.
Good word. The only other thing I can add to this call to action is to listen to this episode again to cover all the points. And, honey, let's remind everybody about our free ebook, which would also be very helpful with this podcast. It's on our top 5 tips to improve communication in marriage. You can go to impactingpeople.com to sign up for it.
Yes. And folks, these tips that we're giving you, we believe will truly take your communication over the top to a brand new level of intimacy. For you parents, it will impact your effectiveness as a parent, and it is free. So make sure you go to our website, impactingpeople.com, and get these free tips. We want you to have them.
Mm. We love walking with you as we all try to navigate marriage, and it's not good to do it alone. So let someone you know they're not navigating alone by sharing this podcast or write a review. Mm. It will expand the reach of the Red Truck Marriage Podcast.
Yes, please take a moment, folks, and write a review for this podcast. It really does help it get out there even to a larger audience. Come up with 3 couples right now that you can share this podcast with, and hopefully it will bless them as well. Remember to always drive the red truck in your marriage, delivering that good stuff. Bye for now.